Reading from the Holy Gospel of St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go up from here. O Lord, have mercy upon us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This morning, Jesus promises us that even though he has ascended to the Father, that we are not alone, nor are we left to our own devices when it comes to hearing and understanding his word. The Father will send the Holy Spirit to teach us and to cause us to remember his promise of life in the midst of death, his promise of forgiveness and grace in the face of sin and rebellion. These things, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. I think some of you may agree with me that the internet is wonderful. It's wonderful, but terrible. You can find all kinds of great information out there. You can be connected with all different kinds of wonderful people throughout the world. You can engage in stimulating conversations and confess the gospel in all kinds of situations that you would not otherwise have found yourself. You can also find all kinds and all sorts of wickedness. You can become depressed after reading comments to virtually any article. You can waste an incredible amount of time with little to no effort. And worse yet, you can be tempted beyond imagination if you're not careful. And sometimes, even when you are careful, the struggle is real. And it's no different when it comes to resources out there for the church. Right? You can find commentaries and podcasts that run the theological gamut to support any doctrine or whim, and so you have to be careful, to say the least. And just one example is the number of sites that come up if you search this word, right? If you search about the perspicuity of Scripture. Just this morning, I Googled the word, and I got over 1.5 million results on Google. And if you don't know, when applied to the Bible, the word perspicuity just means that the Bible is clear and unambiguous. Ironically, few in the pew even know what the word means, and that's if they've even heard it before. So how's that for clarity? At any rate, it's not hard to find blogs or podcasts that talk about the clarity of Scripture. And it's not just Lutherans, right? Either. It's the Reformed and the evangelical circles pick it up as well. In fact, one of the popular styles that you'll find in evangelical sermons or studies is the statement that the Bible clearly teaches this or that. And what usually follows is some memorandum of alliterative bullet points that is performed for the audience. And the more relevant pastors, you may have noticed this, well, they use everyday illustrations to clarify and support their point about how clear the Bible is. And if you're lucky, as you're watching it, right, if you're lucky, the person speaking, the pastor, will be wearing skinny jeans. He'll have his shirt untucked, at least partially, and have an itty-bitty microphone in his ear sticking out, a little bit like he's in the CIA. Now, the irony is that here you can find just as many people out there on the internet and anywhere else, really, that make directly opposing statements and everything in between and claim that their statement is just as clear. As an aside, one of my profs at the seminary, and some of you have had this same prof, used to tell us that if we used the word clearly in a paper, well, then we clearly didn't know what we were talking about. In other words, he didn't want us to talk about being clear. He just wanted us to be clear. And so what are we to do? What are we faithful Lutherans to do? Well, the first is to confess that Scripture is clear. We are to do that, regardless of the confusion that is out there. God does, in fact, communicate clearly. So if it doesn't make sense, well, the problem isn't the Bible then. It's with us. The second thing that we should do is to stop listening to anyone and everyone who wants to explain away a part of the Scripture because it doesn't fit the social constructs of 21st century America. The third is that which shouldn't come as a surprise to us Lutherans, is that we should let the Holy Spirit do the interpreting and use Scripture to interpret Scripture. Luther, in his battle with the Catholic Church over the Scriptures, wrote, "They who deny the all clearness and all plainness of the Scriptures leave us nothing else but darkness. Moreover, I declare against you concerning the whole of the Scripture that I will have no one part of it called obscure. And to support me stands that which I have brought forth out of Peter, that the Word of God is to us a lamp shining in a dark place. But if any part of this lamp does not shine, it is rather a part of the dark place than the lamp itself. For Christ has not so illuminated us as to wish that any part of his word should remain obscure, even while he commands us to attend to it. For if it be not shining plain, then his commanding us to attend to it is in vain." And for whatever reason, we have bought into the notion that I, a poor, miserable sinner, should be able to pick up the Bible, God's revelation of things unseen, of mysteries that defy reason and logic, of heavenly realities that transcend the things of this world, and by my own reason and strength, by my powers of deduction, that I should be able to discern and rightly understand what God says to me. And if I can't, well, then the problem isn't with me. The problem's with God, that he should have spoken more clearly. In fact, we may be tempted to think that if God would have spoken more clearly in the Bible, then Christendom wouldn't suffer all the denominational divisions that there are. And to that premise, we can say, really? Really? In three of the four Gospels, and in one of St. Paul's letters to the Corinthians, we have the words of Jesus from the night in which he was betrayed, the night when he celebrated his Last Supper with the disciples. He said, and I quote, "Take and eat, this is my body." And yet Christians, for centuries, haven't agreed with what he meant by the word "is." Now the point is that we tend to read the Scriptures through filters, through a lens. In other words, the Bible has to say what we expect it to say. And if it doesn't we look for a way to interpret it differently. The condition is really no different from our attempts throughout life to make God in our own image. Another of my sim profs once said that if cows had gods, well, then their gods would look like cows. And so speculated at least one ancient philosopher. They would fashion a lord in their own likeness, a projection of the divine bovine, one whose face would launch 1,000 stampedes. And I suppose that you could say the same thing about horses, about dogs or snakes or humans. Mark Twain once wrote this same thing, that in the beginning, God made us in his own image, and ever since, we have been returning the favor. Sometime after Jesus promised to send us the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul settled the question of why we need God's Spirit to properly understand God's Word, as it has been given to us. He wrote, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. You see, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And there it is. There it is. St. Paul. God didn't give us his word with the expectation that we would be able to understand it by employing our natural powers. To the natural man, God's word is folly. It is laughable. Thus, to properly understand his word, we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit, whom the Father has sent to us, who comes to us through the word itself. And so rather than criticizing God and his word for a seeming lack of clarity, we should thank him that anyone understands, that anyone grasps the mysteries of his revelation, and we can bow before him and ask him to help our unbelief, to send us the Holy Spirit, so that we might continually approach him and his word in a childlike fashion, informed not by what we want to hear, but by the entirety of Scripture. Taking Luther's advice in our reading and our devotions, when we come to a part of God's word that we don't understand, well, then we should pass it by and give thanks to God for enlightening us as he has. And the Spirit who has so graciously been given to us will lead us through what might appear difficult, things that are difficult to understand or even unfathomable, that in those things, in the midst of those things, he will lead us to the blessings of Christ and to him crucified for the sins of the world. And so God grant this to us all for the sake of Jesus. Amen.